T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Well, it is a very good evening to you and AUB in 7:04 even. Factor in your own 7-second delay on a Monday evening on your fan. New York City. Steve Summers here and you there. Tom Lugauer, Paulie Rosenberg on the other side of the glass, and the 1-877-337-6666. That'll be the number, of course, for another 3-hour Monday schmooze. Right up until JJ After Dark at 10 on your fan, New York City. And we're going to call this segment a segment with Tim Bontemps. Did I get the last name right, Tim?
It is, Steve.
Bontemps. Are you there, Mr. Bontemps?
I am, sir. How are you?
I'm doing okay, and I do want to say, as part of your introduction, I just got the pronunciation, and you've been on with me before, but who remembers already? and the bottom line, Tim, is that you're with the Washington Post, formerly of the New York Post, so it's only fitting you talk NBA and with the draft coming up on Thursday, because all you do is post up. So let me ask you, in this NBA that we know of in 2017, do we have anybody posting up anymore?
Not really. I mean, even all the big guys we have now, like guys like Kristaps Porzingis with the Knicks and Karl Towns and Joel Embiid, all these guys, they just shoot threes all the time now. That's kind of the way the game has evolved, to where every position on the court, teams are looking for somebody that can space the floor as opposed to get down on the block like they used to.
No, and of course, no, it's shooting a three, it's a layup, it's a dunk. And of course, I love it when I read with all of the mock drafts how so many teams, Portland, the Lakers, the Knickerbockers, just to name three, all need defense. Who plays defense in the NBA anymore? What?
Well, I mean, if you watch the NBA Finals, I mean, for all the talk about how explosive Golden State's offense is, the Warriors won that series because they are an elite defensive team. And when it got down to it, they were able to guard Cleveland better than Cleveland was able to guard them. And that you know, there weren't a lot of differences in the last two games of that series. But, you know, at the end of game three, the Warriors won an 11-0 run to close the game and shut the Cavs down late. And they were able to shut the Cavs down late in game five, and that proved to be the difference in the series.
Yeah, and except for one game, they turned Tristan Thompson into MIA, AWOL, absolutely invisible. He couldn't even get to the backboard. Here's the interesting thing. I think the two best defensive players with the mouthpiece and the shimmy, with the Dubs out of Oakland, California, the two best players, Green, because he can grab a groin, and also Pekulia, because he can step on your left foot, which makes me think that maybe a top 10 pick in this draft, and nobody is talking about him, because he can get under your skin, and he can trip you, and he can certainly grab a groin or step on your left foot, as Pekulia did with Leonard. How about Duke's Grayson Allen? I think he's the most underrated. And of course, let's face it already, if you're looking for defense the way we know it with the Warriors, I think he'd be perfect for a team looking for a defensive force, don't you think, Tim?
He certainly would be interesting. I think he's decided, though, to go back to Duke for one more year.
Yeah,
so,
I know.
So next summer, when we're talking about the draft, you know, that'll be his defensive instincts, I'm sure, will come up quite a bit.
Wouldn't it be great if on Thursday night, Tim, if Adam Silver says, with the number one pick, the Philadelphia 76ers choose Jason Tatum or Josh Jackson? Well, now, would that throw a little panic and the chaos into Danny Ainge's war room?
It would be pretty funny. I mean, Philly really needed a guard coming into this draft, and the Sixers really wanted to get the number one pick, you know, going into the lottery, because, you know, the guy they're going to take, Markelle Fultz, you know, he perfectly fits what they need. They needed a guy who could shoot the ball and create and play next to Ben Simmons in their backcourt. So that fits perfectly for them. And, you know, I didn't really like the trade very much for Boston. I mean, you mentioned how Danny Ainge is interested in Jason Tatum and Josh Jackson with that third pick. But the Celtics really think that those guys are in the same tier as Lonzo Ball, who's probably going to go second to the Lakers, and Fultz is going to go to the Sixers. And, you know, really, for whatever you think about that trade, to me, it basically comes down to, you know, it's a bet that Danny Ainge has made on if he's right about those guys. And if he is, right, he gets a second first-round pick for a guy of the same level. And if he doesn't, he passes up a chance to get a true superstar, which I think Fultz is going to be, which is what that team really needs. You know, and it'll wind up with another, you know, middling player instead.
It is risky. That is the least you can say about the trade, because... And now if Fultz pans out, I mean, then, Philadelphia makes out like a bandit. On the other hand, you're going to have to pay what? Real max money, what, $200 million to Isaiah Thomas. And even though he's Mr. Popularity in Boston, that is putting a lot putting a lot of pressure possibly on him, if not the team overall. Because if he has had his career year now, and yes, he could score, and yes, he is the emotional leader of the team, we understand all of that, but where is the major risk holding on to Isaiah Thomas as far as you're concerned? Would they be able to keep guys like Bradley and Smart if they have to pay Isaiah Thomas $200 million?
Well, I think it's less, Steve, about keeping those other guys and more to your initial point, which is it worth it to pay $200 million to a guy who's 5'8", who, because he's 5'8", is going to struggle defensively, and who, you know, when you sign that contract, is going to be approaching his 30th birthday. So, you know, if you're paying a guy like him, who is an undersized guy through his early to mid-30s, and you're going to pay him close to $200 million to do it, I mean, that's just a contract that, you know, no disrespect to Isaiah Thomas, who had an unbelievable year this year and really turned himself into a heck of a player with the Celtics. That's just a contract that by the end of it, you have to think is going to look pretty bad for the Celtics or whoever would decide to sign it.
Yeah. What are the Celtics going to get? Cleveland, the rumor is with Cleveland possibly getting Butler. Do you believe there's much to that rumor?
I don't really know what to make of that. I mean, look, the Cavs are in a weird spot right now. Their general manager, David Griffin, is probably going to be out of a job at the end of the month. For whatever reason, Dan Gilbert, the owner of the team, hasn't decided to commit to him long-term with a new contract. And, you know, because of that, it leaves Cleveland in a pretty crazy spot where they're going into this summer with LeBron James only 1 year away from free agency, where they want to try to upgrade this team to really have them be able to compete with Golden State. And now they have all this uncertainty about who's going to be running the team, which obviously isn't an ideal scenario for them. I think it's more likely that at some point the Cavs end up with Paul George, if you're talking about, you know, a ready-made star player going there. Kevin Love has got a couple years left on his deal. They can dangle him in a trade, either in a three-team trade or just sending him to Indiana, because he's a better player than Indiana's going to get in terms of any ready-made package for George.
And of course, George has said he wants to really go and play for the Lakers.
Yeah, I mean, that's interesting, too. I mean, you could look at that a couple ways. It could be that, you know, he actually does really want to go there, or perhaps he wouldn't mind getting traded to a contending team and playing there this year, and then he can wait and see how it looks. I mean, for all the talk, and that, I mean, that talk has been, it's kind of been the worst kept secret in the NBA for probably a solid year now, that George really wants to go to L.A. But at the same time, the Lakers are probably going to, you know, unless they make a drastic upgrade somewhere, which we don't expect, they're probably going to win 20 or 25 games again next year. If you're looking at a team that's that bad, if you're Paul George, are you going to be willing to leave a good team to get traded to, say, Boston this year and play for a 55-win team to go play a year from now for one that's won 25 games? I'm not so sure.
We're talking with Tim Bontemps of the Washington Post. The New York Knickerbockers, are they going to make some kind of deal on Thursday night that involves Carmelo Anthony?
I really don't think so. It's hard for me to see Carmelo agreeing to a trade somewhere. He has such a big salary number that I don't think that's the kind of deal that happened on draft night. My guess is it would happen later in the summer. I think the Knicks have been talking about trying to get another draft pick later in the first round. Mm-hmm. Maybe they could try to swing a smaller deal for something like that. But my guess is they stick with the eighth pick, and if he's there, they probably take Frank Ntilikina, the French point guard that they like a lot, and then maybe Carmelo gets resolved later in the summer. But I would be pretty surprised if something happens with him on Thursday. Like I said, between the combination of his no-trade clause and the $25 million he's owed, I just think it's too tough to try to move him right now.
Yeah, all right. Do you think, the one place that I think he'd love to go, and maybe if he doesn't waive the no-trade clause, maybe the Knickerbockers buy him out. I can't see him coming back next season. He would be possibly, arguably, the number three option on the team. I don't think he would like that. Maybe he doesn't have the yearning to get himself a ring. But wouldn't he, do you think, possibly allow himself to waive that no-trade clause and go to Cleveland, not to start, but to come off the bench and be their Ray Allen for the postseason?
I think that I could see something happening here where if Carmelo gets bought out at some point this summer, say he agrees to waive his option year and take half his salary or something to get away from the Knicks, which I think is probably the most likely option at this point, as opposed to him getting traded, just because of the difficulties that come with that. Mm-hmm. I could see him going somewhere like the Clippers to play with Chris Paul, or the Cavs to play with LeBron, and I could see a situation like that.
Yeah.
But I think it's because, like I said, with the cap kind of flattening out and the lack of trade options around, and I think partly Carmelo not wanting to be traded, I think finding a deal that sends him somewhere like that is just going to be too difficult for the Knicks to be able to pull off.
Yeah, we did hear that the Knickerbockers might want to get themselves another first-rounder, and of course that would be ideal, unless it's the Zen Master, really, with some crazy selection that doesn't work out as well as the Kristaps Porzingis from a year ago. Let me ask you this. If they stay at number eight, are they going to go for the French guard, or would it not be Dennis Smith Jr. out of North Carolina State? We hear so much with him. But if you think of the choices between those two, which would they take at number eight?
I think they'd probably take Ntilikina, the French kid. They've really been on him for a while. They like him a lot. Phil Jackson has always been enamored with big guards, going back to they had Ron Harper in Chicago, and he's always preferred having bigger guards to run his offense. So Ntilikina is 6'5". I think that's probably the direction they would go. But Dennis Smith is an explosive player, put up big numbers at North Carolina State this year. Has got a lot of potential. Look, if you're the Knicks, I think if you could get either one of those guys and get a young point guard to go with Porzingis to be able to run some pick and rolls, mm-hmm. and start to build something kind of from the ground up that way, I think either way would probably work out pretty well for them.
Do you have a dark horse in this draft? Somebody that we don't hear about and read about and see with the tryouts? Do you have somebody that may come as a surprise in the first round, somebody moving up with their stock and value as we speak a couple of days before the draft?
It's kind of hard to say. Especially when you talk about the top 9 or 10 picks in the draft, it's really one of the more uncertain years we've had in a while. I think it's pretty, Fultz is going to go with the first pick. Lonzo Ball is, I think, almost certainly going to go to the Lakers with the second pick. And then after that, things are kind of chaotic. There's Tatum and Jackson, we talked about before. There's De'Aaron Fox, the point guard from Kentucky. There's Smith and Ntilikina. There's Jonathan Isaac from Florida State. Lauri Markkanen from Arizona. There's all these guys that, if you ask, five different teams, you'll probably get five different rankings for how they'll be laid out on the board. So I think the first couple picks we know about, and then after that, you go through the top 10, and it could probably play out in four or five different ways, just depending on how the teams at the top decide to value guys.
All right, so you pretty much have Hollywood. You pretty much have the Lakers picking both father and son. Would you be in shock if that didn't happen and they made some kind of a deal with Sacra Tomato and moved down? I think what? Sacra Tomato has about two picks in the first round, 5 and 10?
Yeah, they've got the 5th and 10th picks. I would be more surprised if they moved down than if they didn't take Ball. But to me, I think Ball's just a perfect fit there. They need a point guard. He's a charismatic guy. He's really good at playing at a fast tempo. He's a great passer. The Lakers obviously hired Magic Johnson a few months ago to run their team. He and Jeannie Buss, I would have to think, would be enamored with having a Los Angeles point guard who played at UCLA, who can run an up-tempo system and pass the ball like few guys in the league. I mean, it just seems like too perfect of a fit. And, you know, are the Lakers really going to pass up taking a UCLA, LA-born point guard to draft, you know, a combo forward from Kansas? I mean, it just doesn't really make a lot of sense. Plus, I think if you ask most people, they would say Ball is pretty clearly the second-best player in the draft anyway. So, I mean, it just makes too much sense. And I would honestly be very surprised if it didn't work out where they take him at some point.
What's,
and, you know, have him with the second pick on Thursday.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. What separates Fultz from Ball?
Fultz is more athletic, I think. He can play multiple positions. He's a little more dynamic overall. I mean, I've gotten some Dwayne Wade comparisons to him. Maybe some smaller, you know, like a 6'4 version of Tracy McGrady. Ball is a really good player. He's more of a traditional point guard. Doesn't quite have, I think, the positional versatility that Fultz does that a lot of teams like now. But they're both, there's teams that think Ball is a better prospect. I mean, those two guys are both really good players, and it would be a surprise if they're not both, you know, two of the better point guards in the league for a really long time.
All right, Tim, we're out of time, and there's never enough time with you. Thanks so much for a couple minutes.
Anytime.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.